This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
They're going to play this for Wheeler as he gets ejected from the game tonight.
Say, I got to be a man. I can't let it slide.
And he's a real American. Can't let this stuff slide. Welcome back. Midday show. He's fighting for what's right. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill. I'm fighting for what's right. Kyle is. Hugh is, at least still for now. He doesn't think it's more important than the win.
I think the win is more important.
Nah, we got to get revenge tonight. We got to plunk a brave, being a brave tonight. 215-592-9494. This segment is sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, you hear a squealer grinding. Take your car to a locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, coming up, we'll get to all your phone calls here, and we're going to have Kevin Petullo speaking for the first time as Eagles offensive coordinator, the new coordinator taking over for Kellen Moore. Hugh, what do you want to hear? What are you interested in hearing from Petullo today? Because although we know him, right, his name, he's been
He's been introduced to us.
But we don't really know him and his philosophy.
They kind of rolled him out as the season progressed last year by, Petullo did this and he called this and that.
It's almost like they were greased at the skids.
Yeah, so they made us somewhat familiar with him. I would want to know what's your philosophy with this offense. How are you going to evolve this offense to be better than it was last year?
Yeah.
I know that's a real, like, general question, but I think that you got to have some ideas, because you sat there in this meeting the whole time watching Coach Moore do whatever it is he did, and either you approved of some of it or you said in your mind, hey, I would have probably did this a little different. Now, you don't have to go into to great detail, but you could talk to me about how you're going to get A.J. Brown more involved in offense, how that since you made Dallas Goedert take a pay cut.
Well, he didn't. But
well, I mean, you know, I'm just,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
You know, be like, how are you going to incorporate him into this? What do you see? Who is the other running back we got? Was it Dillon?
A.J. Dillon.
How is he going to like, just general questions. Like, he's here, so how are you going to integrate him into this offense?
I'm interested in hearing from him. Two things. One, I don't know how you even asked this question, but, like, what does he feel that can Saquon do it again? Like, I am fascinated to see how much they ask of Saquon, and then we'll see early in the season how much he has, right? Like, a lot of times in NFL history, you go back and look at running backs that had the kind of season Saquon did with that kind of usage, and the next year they've lost a step.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Eagles expecting the greatness of Saquon we just saw again? I mean, I think they probably will expect it, and they may adjust if he's not there. That's one thing. And then two, I'm just curious how much he thinks they need to change. Because there could be a school of thought to you, like, why change it? It worked. We won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got an older running back that you got a lot of that out of that you didn't necessarily know that you could get.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the biggest. And to Saquon's credit, he stayed healthy.
Totally.
For the most part. So. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered that he probably can't answer in this press conference.
Yeah, but I'm just curious to get a first kind of glimpse and understanding of who this guy is. Now, look, Kellen Moore, I know a lot of people didn't love him throughout the season. I thought he did a good job last year. I mean, he
adapted well.
Yes, and they found what worked for them, and they obviously did enough to win the Super Bowl. And in their two biggest games, I think we almost forget Moore's involvement in the two biggest games. They lit it up. I mean, in the title game in the Super Bowl, it was the best the offense was all year. They lit it up in the biggest games to win a Super Bowl. So it's not a small thing that he's got to replace Kellen Moore, who's now the head coach of the Saints. It's not about Moore. Like, he's not going to succeed with the Saints, but Moore did a good job here.
Yeah, he had some pieces to work with, definitely.
As Petullo does. I mean, are we going to be happy if this offense isn't top five this year? They weren't top five last year. Better be a top five offense. Okay. Otherwise, I think they're underachieved.
They're top five offense. What if they're not, and we're still in a really good spot to go back to the Super Bowl?
Well,
I'm okay with that.
Well, but do you think the defense is going to be as good?
Well,
then we're not going to be as good of a spot.
I think the defense can be middling, and we can still be good. I think we're that good of a football team.
But if they're in middling defense and not a top five offense, that doesn't seem to me like a Super Bowl team. It's like, what's good? What's great about the team?
Well, okay. Look at it like this. The Kansas City Chiefs weren't as dominant as they have been in the past. They were good.
They
made
lost.
It to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they lost.
They got dragged. Yeah. They got dragged. But I'm saying they made it. I think this team is going to be good enough that we're going to get tested in the NFC. No question about that.
I would call the Chiefs defense better than middling, though. They were a good defense.
I'm just, for the sake of this conversation. But that offense, there were times where they won by the skin of their teeth.
But I don't want to look like the last year's Chiefs offense. All right, let's get to Kevin Petullo. Here he is.
That's cool. All right, guys. Good to see everybody.
So how different will the offense be this year?
Well, I mean, as far as different, you know, we go through the process at the end of each year of examining what we do well, what we need to improve upon, and then really any trends or anything we see that we can add to it. So I think really when you say different, I think it's going to be like, what do our players do best, like it's been? And then from there, we just expand upon it. Hey, we're really good at this. Let's bring this to the table and try this and see where we can take it. And I think really when you look at just our staff as a whole, you know, we've added some new coaches, so they bring some other layers to it too, and then the knowledge of what they have from their background. So I think as we go forward, as we build this thing together as a staff, you know, you'll see some new wrinkles here and there, but more so it's just kind of building on what our players do best.
What were your thoughts on the Tush Push surviving another season anyway?
I mean, it's great for us. We get to continue to use it and have our compliments off it and do different things. So it's fun. You know, it's something we're passionate about. We're very detailed about. We put a lot of work in as a staff, and it's exciting to be able to continue to use it.
What are some things you think you can bring to the offense in your current role that you maybe weren't able to last year or the past year?
I think really it comes down to just my experience. You know, I've been here with Nick since day one, knowing the guys and understanding them, their skill sets, what they can do, and kind of being in a different role to where I saw a big picture at all times. And now I can concentrate on certain things. And I've been in each room, you know, every year kind of with the receivers and the quarterbacks and kind of spread my knowledge around. So now it's just a matter of getting to know the players at a different level, but they still trust me in that capacity. What's the background that I kind of had with them?
You mentioned some of the new staff members. What has Leffler brought?
Scott's been great. I mean, he's got a wealth of knowledge, right? He's been a quarterback coach forever, coordinator forever, and a head coach. He ran a diverse system in college, which has been really cool. So when you have a guy in your staff that's got all this wealth of knowledge, it's great to lean on him and just kind of hear what he has to say. And it's good, right? You don't always want the same things from your coaches, just like I am. You know, I want somebody different to bounce ideas off of and give me some kind of new information. He's been really, really good so far. Super detailed guy, very energetic and works hard. And he's passionate about football, so he's been great.
What was the interview process like for you?
I mean, really, when it comes down to, you know, the interview, it's you know, you're interviewing every day, right? So for the last 4 years, I'm essentially interviewing with Nick, the staff, the players. And then, you know, once we start the interview, it's all about football, how you're going to use personnel, what you're going to do, and, you know, how you're going to put the team in the best spot.
Because you've been with Nick, obviously, so long, you two are kind of linked in many people's eyes. But how do you think you differ from him in terms of philosophy or offensive understanding?
You know, it's interesting. We go back to the Colts when him and I are together. I think there's a lot of fundamental things that we see the same way, you know, but I do think our brains work differently. So it's a good back and forth conversational piece that we have constantly. And there's a lot of things, like I said, that he believes in that I believe in as well. And we're going to do those things. But I do think we challenge each other to grow. And he's awesome about just finding new ideas and testing the waters and saying, what if we did this? What if we tried that? And he challenges you as a coach to really continue to grow your game. So it's, we can be, you know, linked together, but I do think as far as like the testing each other and, you know, he loves to always say, right, you know, we're iron sharpens iron and all these other things about just when you're working together with people trying to create greatness, right? You can't be great without the greatness of others. He's a big part of that, right? He pushes us as coaches to get better, and that's kind of what's unique about it.
What's your philosophy or approach as a play caller?
My approach, right, is put the players in the best position they can to be successful. And then that's what it comes down to. You know, you want to make sure they're confident in everything that they can do, and you want to be confident as a coach that you put them in that position so that they can go out there and do their best.
You mentioned knowing the guys before. What kind of luxury is it as an OC to come in with 10 of 11 starters and
not even the talent, that continuity?
I think it's huge, right? Because everybody knows each other. And, you know, when it comes down to it, when they're out there playing, they're problem solving. You know, ultimately, you don't always know what you're going to get as an offense. So those guys can walk out there in the field and be confident in what they're supposed to do. But no matter what happens, they feel like they can problem solve and do the best together. And that's really what it comes down to, right? We've had a lot of coaches say the same. And then we've had, you know, a lot of players say the same. That's huge as far as guys knowing what we want to do, when we want to do it. And then if something does pop up, we can all adjust together, which is what we have to do as a staff and players.
Jalen specifically, you obviously have worked with him for a while. Now that the relationship mm-hmm. has to change, how do you feel like you guys and that relationship will help you in this current role?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here with him since day one, and it's been great. You know, he works extremely hard. We all know that. And he's super detailed in what he does. And the biggest thing with him is he always wants to get better. And that's what's awesome. And so he's willing to listen to anybody about anything. So if he feels like it's going to get him better, he's willing to take it and try it. And then the best part of it is the dialogue after, right? So we had one practice yesterday. He's willing to try anything, and then we can have dialogue after and kind of go from there. So he's a great player for a reason. His work ethic speaks for itself.
What are your guiding principles as an offensive mind?
As far as?
What's your guiding principles as a coach, like things that you prioritize, the things that are important to you that helps, you know, set the course for your coaching?
I mean, really when it comes down to it, kind of said it before, it's put the players in the best position to be successful. And that's what it's going to come down to, right? We're going to be detailed, just like Nick says, we're going to be detailed in our fundamentals and everything we do. We'll be detailed in the scheme and then put the players in the best position to be successful.
Being around Kellen Moore last year kind of like broadened your horizons as far as being ready to be an offensive coordinator?
Anytime you can get around somebody that's different, kind of outside your circle or new, right, it can expand your knowledge, right? It just kind of tests you and it brings something different to the table and a new piece of information that you may not have had. And him and I worked very closely last year together on, you know, putting the offense together. And it was fun. I learned a lot from him, and I think the same from back and forth, right? We had a lot of conversations back and forth, what he had done in the past, whether it was Dallas or the Chargers, and what we had done here. And trying to bridge that as a staff was unique. That doesn't happen a ton, and it was really, really successful, obviously. But benefiting from his knowledge and being able to ask questions to him and the back and forth conversations, and during games, it was the same kind of thing, the back and forth. We had a very unique relationship. We didn't know each other prior to. And, you know, it went quickly to where we trusted each other, and I could lean on him and he could lean on me. So, you know, working with him last year was a huge benefit.
Have a lot of starters coming back. You did have a lot of success last year. What goes into anticipating the adjustments defenses will make this year?
Yeah, I think just like every year, right, you go in saying, okay, this is the core fundamental, what teams want to do, and then you just have your kind of checklist of things that you got to go down. They could do this, they could do this, they could do that. And then you have to have your core plays that you know, that you trust. Like we talked about, all the 11 guys are back, essentially. So, you know, they know how to problem solve out on the field. And as coaches, we have to be ready to adjust.
Your scheme, who was the greatest influence in your fundamental years as coach?
Obviously, Nick's been huge on me here currently. But prior to that, my biggest influence was Chan Gailey. I was with Chan, you know, a couple different places. Started in Kansas City when I was with Herm Edwards. I was a young coach then. He had just come from Georgia Tech at that point. And just going through that with him was very unique. You know, in 2008 it was, we lost a couple quarterbacks. We ended up having Tyler Thigpen come in. And I'll never forget, we get into a staff room and the walls are all white. There's nothing up there. He goes, all right, we got to figure out a new offense for this week. And he was willing to do anything and try anything to be successful. We ended up developing this no-huddle system. We were in the pistol, and in 2008, nobody knew what the pistol was in the NFL. And we were successful for the most part. We knew a lot of games, but we moved the ball with a bunch of guys that we didn't know really if we could do that with. And so, you know, him being able to show, look, we do what we have to do to win. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It was huge. And then, you know, I went to Buffalo with him, and it looked way different. And we had Ryan Fitzpatrick there, and we were in four wides throwing all over the place. And I got with him again in New York. And so just being around him, he's probably been my greatest influence on my past. And then obviously Nick currently. But, you know, he just taught me a lot. And the biggest thing was, you know, put your players in position, allow them to be successful, and develop dialogue, communication with them. And things will take off. But, no, he's definitely been a big influence on me.
Who were some of the play calls?
you come into this new role?
I mean, really, some of it's still similar, right? The biggest thing, obviously, is I'm the one voice in the offensive room. I still had a big voice prior to, but it's really not a ton different. You know, a lot of the staff is together. We have a great staff, right? We have the best O-line coach in the NFL. We have the best tight end coach, the best receiver coach, best running back coach. And then we added a couple new coaches. And I worked with Parks Frazier at the Colts, and he's expanded his game. So it's really not that much different. You know, and like I said, those guys are so good at what they do. It's great for me, and as a whole staff, we really, really do well together.
Getting back to the play calling part of it, who are some of the play callers you've been around that maybe shape what we'll see from you as a play caller?
Obviously, you know, Kellen was really good at what he did last year and just developing. And what's interesting is, that, you know, he had to kind of adjust on the fly, right, which was really cool to see. Shane had his very unique style, which was interesting too. And how he thought. And then, obviously, the biggest one for me, kind of talked about before, was just Chan Gailey and just how to do things and trust the players and set things up and go through the process of it. And then Frank Reich, obviously, in the Colts was awesome, too. I mean, I've been very fortunate to be around some really, really, really good coaches.
As far as change, what about day-to-day with Nick, your associate head coach role?
Mm-hmm.
So he had said in the past that to clean it up, maybe when he was being too harsh on people, you were the guy who kind of pulled him back. Does that change at all?
No, I don't think that'll ever change. I mean, we work hand in hand. That's what we know. That's what we do. Yeah, I don't think that'll change.
Kevin Dallas Goedert was a big storyline.
Yep.
Offseason. Are you sleeping any better knowing he's coming back?
Yes.
How late?
Yes. No, Dallas is awesome. You could feel his presence out there yesterday and just doing our 7-on-7 stuff. We're so glad to have him back. He brings a very unique, different style of play to the offense, and he's another weapon to add.
Kevin, you mentioned Parks Frazier. How have you seen him grow as a coach, and what really stands out to you about him?
So really, from the time we were with him at the Colts until now, you know, his offensive knowledge has grown, right? Being in Miami last year, he learned all this new stuff, and then being at Carolina kind of on his own, doing his own thing and coaching up Bryce there, he's really expanded his game. You know, he had to jump into an awkward situation as a coordinator, a play caller that one year at Indy. That was another thing. And so he's really developed as a coach, and then just the new styles he has and the ways to communicate. But he still kind of knows the same language and the way we were able to talk prior to, which is really beneficial. He can just jump right in there and go.
It's not that different for you. I imagine this is a job you've been preparing for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were, like, you know, writing in your notes about what you were going to do when you were an offensive coordinator, what were some of the things that you wanted to remind yourself of that were important to you?
I think the biggest thing is just be me. I mean, I'm not going to change who I am. I'm going to be who I am and then just rely on all the coaches that we have, because, you know, that was something that Chan always taught me too. All the coaches you have around you are there for a reason. So don't just all of a sudden think you're going to do it yourself, right? And lean on those guys and lean on what they're experts at, and really that'll give you the best chance to be successful.
What are you seeing from Saquon, you know, now that he's back after such a heavy workload this past season and everything, like just how he's looking?
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, he looks like the same guy. I mean, it's unbelievable how he's able to do that and continue to go day in and day out. And he looked in, you know, regular season mode yesterday running routes, so it was pretty cool.
Is the burden going to stay pretty much the same?
Yeah, I don't think we'll change too much, right? We've kind of had the Eagles offense is what we've kind of been running essentially the last 4 years, and we'll kind of keep it in that grouping of words just because the continuity of everybody, it'll be a lot easier, and then we can make adjustments or add stuff within things because that kind of baseline language is already built.
As a follow-up to Bo's question, this job in the past decade has propelled OCs to head coaching mm-hmm. jobs, but the ones who've replaced those guys haven't had as much success, naturally, because you replace a successful coach. How do you navigate that? How do you deal with taking over a team and an offense that had this much success?
To be honest, you know, you're just kind of doing your job. If you look at something like that, big picture, I guess it could be overwhelming, but I just kind of, this is what I do, this is what I wanted to do, I've been wanting to do it, and I have an opportunity to do it, and like I said, I've got a great staff around me, great players, great organization, everything, so it'll be fun.
All right, thanks guys.
Thanks guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, there he is, Kevin Pitullo, the first press conference as Eagles offensive coordinator. All right, a couple things hit me. Number one, he did say at the end Saquon looks like the same guy he was last year, mm-hmm. which, you know, we'll see when they hit the field and for real. But, you know, that's obviously great to hear that, you know, his body and looks and feels the way he did a year ago. That's a big thing. I also thought it was noteworthy that the way he referenced the change last year, he was talking about Kellen Moore and the adjustment they made, and he said they needed, like, the adjustment they needed to make, which is an interesting way to frame the flip of the offense last year, right? Because they threw it a lot, and then they switched to running it a lot, and it wasn't like, the way he made it sound like it was a necessity they do that, not just something they thought maybe would help. Yeah. They needed to, and he gave more credit for pulling that off.
And I like the fact that he identified, well, they identified it, and they were able to adjust and have success with it. He sounded like he was really forthcoming as far as, you know, what he wants to do in this offense. Talked about Dallas Goedert a little bit. I mentioned that early on. I'm pretty excited about what he said because I think he went in there and he said the right thing. I think he said everything that most Eagle fans want to hear. That's, you know, working with Jalen. Jalen's working hard. Evolution of the offense. Because I think that's the biggest thing. We know that we can't – there are going to be some similarities as far as the offense is concerned to what it was last year, but it can't be the same offense when you have those two high-priced receivers on the squad and they're not getting fed that much. So it has to evolve.
Can I point out one little gripe? I have one thing that I didn't love. Well, and I understand he's going through his Rolodex of his career, right? How we got to
Chan Gailey.
A lot of Chan Gailey talk.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, it's not like, but.
A lot of Chan Gailey.
There's a lot that you could probably pull from Chan. Not so much his win-loss record.
Sure.
But just the way that he moved. The
philosophical,
way that he,
I understand.
All of that, his way of thinking and things of that nature.
We're all influenced by someone.
Listen,
I know that. But Chan Gailey?
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, damn, he's saying his name a lot.
Yeah, you know what I was
hoping? It's not like, he wasn't like he was saying Bill Walsh
right,
or somebody like that.
Advice for next time, Kevin? Just lie. Just say Bill Walsh or Andy Reid. Give me someone that could coach some offense.
I like how he basically pulled from his history and the people that he's worked with, because it to me it's about adaptability.
I know, I understand. He brought up when they had an injury and they had to change the offense. It's a wonderful story, but
he was like Chan Gailey's name, saying it a little bit too much.
I just was like, every Chan Gailey offense I watched for the last 10 years of his career couldn't score any points. Like that's die.
Yeah, wasn't. Was it Quincy Carter? Wasn't it his quarterback at one time?
Yes, in Dallas. So Chan was there when the Cowboys fell apart in the late 90s and Aikman was done. And yeah, all those guys that had a quarterback. And I get it. I mean, he coaches with them. He respects them. A little less Chan Gailey next time. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls. You can react to the Kevin Pitullo press conference. We got a lot to get to coming up here. Your phone calls. I need retaliation. I need retaliation for what happened last night. Strider hitting Harper. I need to beat a Brave tonight. I want to hit Acuna, and I want Wheeler to be the one to do it. All right, also, we didn't spend much time really talking about what I think was the other big story from last night's game. A guy that we've all assumed doesn't have much of a future here in Philadelphia, but the present is really good right now. We'll discuss Ranger Suarez. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The stretch, and the lefty's 2-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Climbed the ladder with a fastball, and Olsen comes up empty with the bases loaded. Huge strikeout for Suarez, number 7 on the night, and Ranger keeps the Braves off the board.
Heck of a night for Ranger Suarez. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. I feel like Ranger kind of got lost in the shuffle. We're all upset about what happened to Bryce Harper, obviously, and I want retaliation tonight on a Brave. But Hugh, Ranger Suarez last night was good again. So he had his first start back, he was not good, right? He got hit around.
Yeah.
His last few starts.
I did that.
It's okay. His last few, you know, it's just like Ranger, right? The first one, not great, but you'll rebound.
Yeah, you rebound.
Since then, he's been excellent. I mean, he looks like the pitcher that he was for early in last year.
Looks like a guy pitching for a contract.
Well, he does. And you know what got me thinking? It's a very bizarre situation because I feel like most people just assume, and I'm one of them, that he's not going to be here long term, right? They have all these young pitchers. They have some guys they've already re-signed. They traded for Lizardo. There doesn't seem to be a long-term spot for him, yet he's just doing really well right now. It's like, I don't know what the future of Ranger Suarez in Philadelphia is. It's kind of weird when a pitcher is this good for this long. It's been years he's been a good pitcher, and we all just assume, yeah, they're going to let him walk away.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you talk about let it play out.
Yeah.
This is one that looks like they're going to let it play out, especially when you talk about Nola, him being here. He's already been signed. Painter potentially in the rotation.
Of course, yeah.
So it's one of those things where Ranger's basically doing himself a favor.
And the team at the same time.
Yeah, he's helping. It's a win-win. This is one of those things when you talk about, you know, screw the team, do what's best for the team. He's doing what's best for the team right now. He's pitching well, and he's putting himself in position to go somewhere else if the Phillies decide not to resign.
But at that same time, if he keeps pitching like this, do you want him to walk away? I know they have all these other options, but this just doesn't usually happen. Like, if he's older, okay, that's different. He's older. Or if the Phillies don't have enough money or they're a mid-market team that can't afford him, that's different. Teams don't usually let 29-year-old homegrown pitchers that are pitching well just leave, and it feels like we are just resigned to the fact that, well, like you said, they have Wheeler signed, they have Nola signed, they have Painter coming, they have Abel coming, they have Lizardo under contract.
It's not a bad problem to have.
No.
Especially when you talk about potentially what you're going to need towards the end of the season.
Well, totally. I mean,
you know what I mean? You got, like, what we're talking about, seven arms that you have that you can use. And the fact that, who was the guy popped for the PD?
Alvarado.
Yeah. So one of those guys, out of necessity, I think, see, here's the thing with Ranger right now is that I think that if he keeps on this timeline of pitching well right now, that during the playoffs, when we make it to the playoffs, that it wouldn't be a thing for him to go in the bullpen.
All right. I agree with you on that. But we're going to have a situation. I keep waiting for this moment, and it's going to happen. There's going to be a moment before the playoffs where they have more starters than spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious how you think this is going to play out. When Aaron Nola returns, and we found out yesterday he's still feeling some soreness, so this isn't like an immediate thing. Maybe it's, I don't know, 3 weeks from now. Maybe it's the All-Star break. But at some point, Nola's going to be back, right? It's not like he broke his ankle. He just sprained it. He's going to come back. Nola, Wheeler, Suarez, Sanchez, Painter. I mean, like, that's five, right?
That's five.
That's five right there. And who am I missing? Oh, Lizardo. That's six. So either they're going to a six-man rotation this summer or someone's going to the bullpen. What's happening?
I would say, just off the top, Lizardo is probably going to go in the bullpen.
Really?
I would just say just strictly off of that, just the way you presented it to me, because I don't think Ranger that early in the season is going to go. I really don't.
But why I wouldn't move Lizardo? He's their second best starter.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But that's what I'm saying. Right off of what you just said, you just paid Nola a lot of money. He's not going. I would say that would probably be the easiest move. Probably the one that sounds a little crazy. But right now, the way Ranger's pitching and he's pitching better, he's not. And the money situation, he's not going to.
That's a hell of a no for me. Sorry.
I know. I can't move Lizardo. He's my game two starter.
No, I hear what you're saying. But if the way that you presented it to me today, if you had to do it today, it has to be him.
No. You're doing a lot of tap dancing to avoid the elephant in the room. Is that rain?
Suarez.
I'm not avoiding. I'm hitting it head on. That's not going to happen.
But if we've already established he's probably not going to be here, why do I care about his future?
Because he's pitching well. Then you want him to pitch.
But Lizardo's pitching better.
I would say
Lizardo's been their second
best
starter.
Your solution is to hurt the starting rotation.
No, this is what I'm saying. If the timeline that I gave you initially when I put Ranger in the bullpen works, but the timeline that you're talking about does not work.
Because no one wants to – I did the same thing with Jolly last week. No one wants to acknowledge my timeline. I agree with you. In the playoffs, it's easy.
I acknowledge your timeline
every
day.
You did. But Jolly didn't. In the playoffs, all rules are off, right?
We're all inclusive on this show, Joe.
In the playoffs – because it's easy to say –
on Friday.
Not you. It's easy
to – what I do on Friday? I forgot.
Come on.
I forgot.
You said something you should have apologized for.
What are you talking about? You talking about Andrew?
Yes.
He'll be all right.
Well, I guess.
Andrew needs to apologize to me. If you listen to Andrew,
why
you need to
apologize
to me.
Why would one of our salespeople here apologize to
because
you?
Because
he never came on the air and said something derogatory about you.
He made a promise to me last year and he didn't keep it.
Oh, geez. So this is revenge.
Yeah, wait, well, it wasn't revenge, okay. But when we talk about apologize, you know I'm going to deflect.
Okay. That was huge retaliation.
I know. It took a year for that. My point is, in the bullpen, in the playoffs, sure, someone's going to go to the bullpen.
Yes.
But by... I'll just say it this way. By the All-Star break, I think it's very realistic. Nola's ready and Painter's ready. Mm-hmm. We have six starters. So we either got to go to a six-man rotation or someone's going to the bullpen.
Guess what?
And every time I bring this up, no one gives me a straight answer.
I did give you a straight answer.
Lizardo?
Yes.
That's not a straight answer. It's a ridiculous
answer.
Like,
I didn't know it was going to trigger.
You are so in bed with Boris that you're putting our second best starter in the bullpen.
I understand how these things work.
No,
and it's funny that as much baseball as you two guys have watched, y'all don't get that.
No.
Y'all want a strong arm and beat up people.
I've tried to give up.
And lose games in spite of being petty and all this other stuff.
Well, that's because we're losing the battle to win the war. Okay. I have given out two reasonable ideas.
I am the voice of reason.
Reasonable idea one is Ranger. Reasonable idea two is Painter. I bring both up. Everyone yells at me. No one has a real idea.
But that's not reasonable. Because
neither is moving Lizardo to the bullpen.
Okay.
But just got to be honest.
As of today, what is the solution?
Six-man.
Ranger's pitching well.
How about a six-man rotation?
Okay, we can do that.
Is everyone on board? Because you're worried about feelings. Major League buddies over here.
Well,
we know Zach Wheeler doesn't like that.
Well, you know, you got to talk to Zach.
I'm not talking to anybody.
No. Hold on. See, you're one step removed from putting Zach freaking Wheeler in the bullpen putting Lizardo in there.
Definitely not putting
it can't
Zach
happen.
In. Zach is the guy that we know if he's listening. Zach, I understand you don't like to go on more days rest. He likes his rest the way he likes it.
Yeah.
But if I'm talking about this six-man rotation, the first conversation that I'm having is with Zach to find out if he's okay with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we know based on history, and they've even sort of offhand said it, I think, recently when talking about Nola coming back. They keep moving Wheeler so that he's on regular rest. This is a thing. I don't think that's really even worth asking him again.
Okay, so, well, we'll figure that one out.
But that is the most logical thing. It keeps Painter from running out of innings. It protects Lizardo, who recently had issues with his back. I think a six-man rotation makes sense.
But the best version of this rotation is with Wheeler at his absolute best.
I get it. So someone's got to get uncomfortable here.
It's freaking Ranger.
When we say be uncomfortable... Are we talking about? We're not talking about putting a young cat in the bullpen. Not talking about painting the bullpen.
I mean, I still want to do that.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Ranger's not going to the bullpen because of monetary. Not right now.
This is a game of musical chairs, and we don't have enough chairs here for all these guys.
You won't put Nolan there because he already got paid, and you won't put Ranger in there because he wants to get paid.
But put Lizardo.
Okay. Since this triggered you so much,
It is triggering. But the Lizardo thing is crazy.
He's the odd man. To me, he's the odd man out.
He's their second best arm.
He is the odd man out.
Right
Ranger
now,
is the odd man out.
Ranger's not the odd man
yes,
out, Kyle, because Ranger's the guy that's trying to get paid.
No, he's the most versatile.
Okay,
so
he's
that makes him the odd man out.
Okay, he's the most versatile at the end of the year. But right now, he's trying to build up his resume so that he can get paid at the end of the year. Because just like we talked about, he might not be here.
It's the most exhausting thing.
I just can't believe you walk in here with a Boris Korp hat on every day.
It's unbelievable.
See, I make great points. You just don't want to listen to what I'm saying
because you're
just being stubborn.
Nope.
Both of you guys.
You're being stubborn.
Lizardo in the bullpen.
Being so stubborn that you're willing to put our second best pitcher in the bullpen so that Ranger can get a payday in the offseason.
The way you presented the problem to me, that's the easiest fix.
It's absolutely not the easiest fix.
It is the easiest fix.
No, it's not. No. That's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Ranger's not going to the bullpen knowing that there's money out there to be made, and he's pitching well.
Well, he might.
He's not. Okay, at the end of the season, yes. If we're going to a five-man rotation, you say, hey, Ranger, I need you to go in the bullpen. That increases his value to another team if he decides to do that. But right now, that's not the case.
Well, here's the reality. Multiple of these guys got to go to the bullpen in the postseason. You only need three or four starters in the playoffs.
This is true.
So they're all better get ready for
this
that.
This is true. This
all right,
is true.
Let's take a deep breath here because I'm losing my mind. 215-592-9494. This segment sponsored by McGurk's Pub & Grill, which, by the way,
cannot wait.
We're going to be there tomorrow. So we're going to be at the Fort Washington location tomorrow.
That's the far one.
Well, it depends on where you are.
Well, they're all nice. Listen, girl, I'm not complaining because they're all nice.
You know, they have a new one closer to me. They just built a brand new one. Now, that's not where we're going tomorrow.
Is that the one we went where they had the outside bar and the TVs?
We haven't
stuff?
Been to the brand new one yet.
Oh, we haven't been, but the one we've been to this one.
We've been to Fort Washington.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, they're really, really nice. Really,
we
nice.
Can't wait. So we'll be in Fort Washington tomorrow. Come on by, say hi, have some lunch. We will be there between 10 and 2 doing our show tomorrow. McGurk's in Fort Washington. All right, Twitter question here, which we had a bunch of Twitter questions. I'm excited to see where these people come down. Sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Okay. Well, we had a bunch about the Phillies and the Braves and the retaliation. I'm really curious where people came down on who is the better athlete right now, Howie Roseman or Hugh Douglas. Last time I looked on that, I believe it was about a 50-50 split.
Yeah, Howie probably was winning.
Well, he did throw a good first pitch last night.
He did. He threw a pitch. Mm-hmm. He worked on it, and he did a good job.
You worked on yours last year, too. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about it and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Would you trade a win over the Braves for retaliation tonight? 62% are plant-based and said no.
Yeah, that's
sad. 50,
those are grown-ups.
No, that's your fault. 51,
it's tough being a grown-up.
51%. Said Howie Roseman is currently a better athlete than Hugh Douglas.
That's a close one.
That's rough. And 69% believe the Phillies need to retaliate tonight. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris.
Can I just real quick?
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to read you the National League Cy Young odds.
Can I guess them? I haven't looked in a few
days. Sure, just the rankings. Week. You don't have to give me the number.
Okay. I'm going to guess Skeens.
Yes.
Favorite.
Yep.
Is Wheeler too?
No.
Yamamoto?
Yes.
So Skeens,
Ben Wheeler.
Yamamoto, Wheeler. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where Lizardo is. Lizardo is probably top 5 or 6. I'm going to go Logan Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Green?
Yes.
Lizardo?
Yes.
Top 6.
Mm-hmm.
Bullpen.
Yeah.
Says Douglas.
You asked me in a vacuum. I stand by what
this
I said.
This is a joke, six. Quite frankly. Right.
Yelling at me don't make it any different.
No, I'm just trying to get my emotions out.
Hurting my feelings and yelling at me don't make it no different.
What is WIP for? Chris and Ben Salem. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, number one, with Ranger and Nola, I'm putting Nola in the bullpen. Money be damned. I'm not having him go out there at 91, 92 and get shelled when Ranger's throwing shutouts.
So, Chris, I think on merit, he's obviously their worst starting pitcher. I understand what you're saying. My only concern with that is, what does he give you in the bullpen? You know what I mean? Are we just stashing him there as a long man? We might have to.
I think that's what he's at in his career, at this point. Unless he, drinks a magic potion and he starts throwing 95, 97 again. Which,
Magic
it would
potion.
Also reaffirm
that's cold.
His commitment to the team would be reaffirmed.
He needs the Jose Alvarado magic potion.
That's cold.
That's right. That's right. Because it ain't happening. The older he gets, the slower he's going to throw.
I don't know, dog. Yeah. Hey, Alvarado did it.
And he got busted for it.
I'm just saying. Do what you got to do to get ready to go.
That's it. For the good of the team. That's it. The other thing is, I need more commitment out of Rob Thompson. I need him in a security shirt tonight, the yellow security shirt with the fake glasses and the mustache and the fedora outside the Braves locker room with a steel chair going after Acuna's knee.
Wow.
So, Chris, that made me also think about, do you remember the Bobby Valentine thing when he had the fake mustache and the glasses when he was in the dugout?
Yep.
Do you remember that, Hugh? Bobby Valentine was the manager of the Mets just 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he got thrown out of a game, and he snuck back into the dugout in the T-shirt and, the disguise glasses and the fake nose and the mustache and sat there and tried to manage the game. Chris, you need a Cunha bean tonight or a Brave bean?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, you're dead on with it. It's not so much Strider hitting him and, it's the Braves' fault, but it's 3 games in a row where Bryce has been hit, and there needs to be a message sent to the rest of the league that you can't be that comfortable coming up and in where there's not going to be any repercussions. It's just part of the game. It is what it is. And the guys just need to go police it and take care of their star.
They do, and they got to protect them. And they got to protect the others. Chris, good phone call. They got to protect Schwarber and Trey and all the guys that could be the next one to get beamed.
Yeah, see, it's the principality about it at this point. That's a terrible disguise, too. It was just
Bobby Valentine thing?
Yeah.
If my memory serves, he got away with it for maybe a half an inning or an inning, and then the umpire caught
him.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm like, how could you not see who that was?
Yeah, I think he was hiding a little bit in the corner of the dugout. All right, go ahead.
But what I was about to say is, it's one of those things where I understand that normally in situations like this, you don't want to retaliate because it wasn't on purpose. But it's happened too frequently in the last couple of days for you to let it slide. And again, one of the things that people say about the Braves, and they said about the Braves, is that when it comes time to, you know, let them drop, sometimes they don't do that. They need some seasoning. And this would be a great moment to go out there and put hands on somebody.
Well, it shows we got your back, and we're not doing this. You're not going up and in and our guys.
This is a different time. Like, I also look at it like this, and this is why I'm more concerned about getting a win, because this was the team that at the beginning of the season was picked to win the division. This was the team that people thought that was going to resurge and come back and, you know, make a lot of noise. I'm trying to put them to sleep.
I know. You want to win. You want to dominate them and finish. I could trade a win tonight to get Acuna plunked.
No, I mean, I hear you, but I'm trying to balance this grown-up thing with a little bit of, you know, trying to be mature about the situation.
It doesn't work.
I mean, I know it doesn't. It's tough, but you got to try to balance it out as much as possible.
Yeah, but today's not a day for grown-ups. Today's the day to throw a baseball at someone on purpose. Skip and Claymont. What's up, Skip?
Hi, you. How do you do? Hello.
Hey.
Hey, Skip.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit nervous because I'm talking to a three-time Pro Bowler, 1995 Defensive Rookie of the Year, Eagles Hall of Famer, and my boyhood hero, Hugh Douglas, hey. Alias Horse Cartwright.
Wait a minute. That's a lot.
I just call him the Big Bear. How are you?
Hey, Skip, what's up, man? What are you thinking?
Hugh.
Yes.
Hugh, it's me, Skip. I met you at the Family Dollar next to the Food Lion on Philly Pike and Claymont. How are you doing?
Man, that's a lot. Hello.
Yeah, you're a saver too. I know you like to say you like a nice savings like me.
Yeah, I like to save money. I don't like spending.
Some people call you cheap. I call you frugal.
I like to be frugal. That's a lot, though. Anyway. That's a lot, Skip. You got a lot of information.
Well, it's good.
Well, I'm a first time, long time creeping you, first time calling you. Just kidding. And I agree with Joe. I'd throw a ball at him. I'd throw a couple of balls at him, right in his head.
Well, Skip, it's good to have you on. So what do you have for Hugh? You're calling in to talk to Hugh. Boy, it's pretty cool. You know, your favorite player, and you got to meet him once. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I have respect, admiration, appreciation, adoration and affection, if he'll have me. Just kidding.
Wait a minute.
I love the guy for such a long time. I can't believe I'm talking to him on the phone. It's crazy.
Well, that's pretty cool. I'm glad you're going to talk to you. This is good, Hugh. This is good.
So, you look good, Hugh. You look like you've been working out. I didn't even know it was shredding season. Like you say.
It's the laugh for me. The laugh kind of got me.
By the way, I heard that I know you have had some problems with your truck. I don't know if it's a space issue or not. I have a garage if you want to use it.
Oh, no, I'm good. I have a garage. I'm good.
Yeah, I know you pull into your place every afternoon about 2:45 after the show, and we're actually in the same development. I'm in 207. It's me, Skip.
I'm sorry, Skip, but I don't really too much speak to my neighbers because I'm not that friendly.
I know that's part of the problem I wanted to get into and talk to you about just a little bit with the Homeowners Association, but I guess you only know me by face. I wave to you all the time. One time I spelled out the E-A-G-L-E-S with my arms and hand signals. I'm very flexible.
I didn't recognize that. Mm. It sounded like you was doing a lot of waving.
Mm. I see you in the morning, too.
Oh, Skip, you watch Hugh leave the house in the morning every day? You're really keeping an eye on this guy. That's pretty neighborly.
I keep an eye on him, and then I drive off, too. Oftentimes, I find myself driving behind you on I-95 when you're on your way into the station, and I just drive to watch at the same time. And there's always a reason to drive from Claymont to Philadelphia.
That's a lot, Skip. That is a lot.
I know you had some problems with your battery. If you can use me if you want. I'll recharge your battery anytime you'd like.
This is getting a little bit weird,
a little creepy,
now.
Skip. I'm flattered with the offer, but I don't think we're compatible.
That's not true. You know, I'm in 207, and I heard you're saying that you walk around your unit naked, and some of the other homeowners were upset. But I say, you be you. You do you. And then I'll do you. Hoo-hoo! You're the king of the castle, you. You make the rules in your home. I'm just a spectator.
Wait, did you say spectator?
Wait a minute, I like the look. Well, I'm just a big fan. By the way, I'm a little worried about you not getting enough sleep.
Why are you worried about that?
Well, I was looking in your window the other night, and it was after 11 o'clock, and you were still up. I thought maybe you had stayed up to watch the basketball, but you were playing video games.
Skip, I think we get the point. Skip, we thank you for calling, Skip. Thank you.
Of course. It's an honor. Remember, Hugh, you can park your big truck in my garage anytime you like.
All right, that's enough, Skip. That's enough. What do you do? Maybe you say hi to the neighbors, because otherwise you got this going on.
I don't speak to my neighbors.
Well,
I mean, I wave.
Now we all spoke to your neighbors.
I see the kids. When I see the kids, I wave to the kids. But the grown-ups don't speak.
What's going on in that neighborhood?
You might have to move after that.
Put some blinds up.
Do you have
blinds or curtains?
You probably should invest in one of those. What was it called? A partition?
Yeah, something.
I didn't get it yet.
You just got open windows?
Yeah, in the back, it's open.
Yeah.
And every now and then.
Skip's looking in.
Well, I mean, that's a lot for him to do that, but I know for a fact my neighbors probably saw me.
I don't know if I'm more worried about you or Skip.
Well, I'm very worried about Skip.
Skip's he's a lot.
Yeah, I would invest in the home security system if I were you.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. Well, obviously it's not working because you don't know Skip's looking through the window, buddy. You got to watch out for that. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back to all your phone calls here. Everyone gets a chance to react as the Phillies get set to play the Braves tonight. This is very simple, very, very simple. Last night, Bryce Harper took one in the elbow. He's lucky, we're lucky that it wasn't worse than it was. It's a bruise, x-rays negative, no break. It could have been worse. It could have been the kind of injury that knocks a player out for months at a time and would have absolutely changed this Philly season. And it's time for the Phillies to just get order here. Harper's getting hit left and right. Teams are coming after the Phillies, and they have to make sure it doesn't happen anymore. I need a Brave Beaned tonight. Where do you come down? Also, we have to get to, it's our first chance to react to an NFL tier list that came out recently. We'll give our reaction to it. Quarterback list. It's a big day, guys. It's the first quarterback list.
Are we about to get triggered? Trigger warning.
I don't know. Why is it we're getting triggered? It's just a good old quarterback list.
Triggers are always civil.
That doesn't ever get anyone upset. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.